White Coolies, a true story of Australian women at war, adapted from the diary written in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey. Dedicated to those nurses who did not return. Sister Davis.
Missing.
Sister Hempstead.
Missing.
Sister Gardam.
Missing.
Sister Raymond.
Missing.
Sister Jeffrey.
Here. Having made us move into the two houses vacated by the Dutch, the Japanese started an officers' club right next door to us, and we were informed that we were to play an important part in its activities. When the 32 of us refused, the whole camp was punished by having to go without rations for 4 days. Some of us were told to scrub out other houses that were part of the club and move a lorry load of furniture while the Japs watched us. Later, we were taken one at a time and questioned by the Japs and told that if we didn't do what they wanted, we would die. We still refused, and as the last of us came back from the questioning, we gathered around to discuss our position.
I wish to heaven something had happened. This waiting is awful.
Nerve-wracking, isn't it, Dot?
I think I'll go over to the others and see if they've heard anything.
Well, they'd tell us if they had, Viv.
Well, I'll go anyway. Something to do. Are you coming, Meg?
Oh, yes.
Oh, dear old Mac. Not even this shakes her calm.
She's fantastic. I bet if someone rushed in here and said the war was over and we were free, all she'd say would be, oh, yes.
I'll bet she would, too.
May I come in?
Who's that?
I'll see. Who is it?
I'd like to speak to you, sister, if I may. My name is Tom.
Come in.
Who is it, Del?
Mr. Tun. He wants to talk to us about something.
Maybe he's heard something about the club.
Good evening, sisters. I've come to talk to you about this business of the officers' club.
Yes?
We've heard the rumors, you know. Most unpleasant business.
Most.
A friend of mine, a man called Stevenson, and I are most concerned about it all.
Oh, why, Mr. Tun?
Well, it seems that one of our lot, that is, an Englishman, started all this, and Stevenson and I want to do anything we can to help you.
There's not much anyone can do, I'm afraid.
Unless you've got a machine gun.
You see, we don't know what's to happen.
Well, when does the club actually open?
Tonight.
Oh. Well, that rather cuts out any planned action, doesn't it?
I'm afraid it does.
Well, look here. We'll hang around, and if you're sent for, let us know. We won't let you go alone.
Well, I don't imagine the Nips will let us take an escort with us.
Oh, we've got that arranged. We're the barmen.
Barmen?
Oh, yes. They've got it all fixed up with the bar and all the trimming.
How awfully cozy.
Hey, kids!
Oh, listen, someone's calling us.
Jeff, Dale!
It's Pat Gunter running like mad.
I'll get along, and don't worry, sisters. Stevenson and I will be there to keep an eye on you.
We've just been told that we're ready to go. We've got to go to the club at 8 o'clock.
Oh, listen, kids. I've just had an idea. If we make ourselves as unattractive as possible, maybe they'll change their minds when they see us.
Oh, that shouldn't be hard. We don't look what you'd call glamour pusses.
But we could make ourselves look worse. Dot's right.
I'll go and scrounge some water. We can plaster our hair back. See what else you can think up to do.
Oh, that's right. a wonderful idea.
Look, we've got a bit of pork fat left. We can glue our hair down with that.
And we'll wear what's left of our uniforms with no collars and see what we can rake up in the way of odd footwear.
Jeff, could some of us black out our teeth? You do it with charcoal, don't you?
I'll do it. We may be healthy, but boy, what sights.
Never before has the Australian Army Nursing Service gone to a party in such outfits. Our triumph was our footwear. It consisted of sand shoes, football boots, and cracked and broken men's shoes that someone had found on a rubbish dump. Of course, there weren't enough to go round, so some of us were barefooted. No one had any powder or lipstick, even if we'd wanted to wear it. We scraped and plastered our hair down, and a couple of girls did black out their teeth. We all succeeded in looking monstrous, except Pat Gunter. And the more we plastered her curly hair down, the prettier she looked.
Oh! Oh, Del, stop dragging at my hair.
Look, we've got to get it flat some way. It's no good them taking one horrified look at us and singling you out.
Here, here's a bit more grease. Try that.
Will you look at Mac? Mac, smile for us. Go on, what? Smile, darling.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it looks so real. You'd swear she had three front teeth missing.
If you are ready, you are ready, follow me.
I've got elevators in my tummy.
Me too. Keep your fingers crossed.
Listen, I'm keeping everything crossed, including my eyes.
Come on, let's go.
Well, this rain ought to help. We'll all look like drowned rats as well as everything else.
As long as it doesn't make Pat's hair curl. I've never known such a trying girl.
I can't help it if I've got curly hair.
Well, you ought to learn to control it, my girl. Well, this is a bit unconventional. Neddy the Nip is taking us over the wall. You'd think at least we'd go out through the gate.
Come on, up. Here we go. Over.
Oh,
there you go.
Oh,
that's it.
Well, here we are. Good luck, kids.
Shushusan. Odu to Daryajin. Kanto vraga. Skimashita.
Asodoska? Perum.
Feels funny to be coming into our late home.
Will you look what's hanging on the wall?
Oh, no.
Picture of a pure white lily.
Somebody's blundered. I can't say it makes me feel any better.
Come in, please. And sit down.
There's Mr. Tan and his friend. They've kept their word.
It's certainly good to see them here.
You are comfortable, Redis?
Quite, thank you.
It's a nice change to sit on a chair instead of the floor.
We are a little surprised. We thought you would understand that this is our party. That you would dress up.
Oh, but we have.
Oh, so I see. Now I will signal you to accompany me into the house next door. It will be more intimate in there if not quite so many of us.
Six be done. Pass the word along, Viv. Half will go and half of us stay.
Yeah, safety in numbers, right. Dot, pass the word along. Half of us are going next door.
Half of us are going next door.
Before the Jap knew what had happened to him and could stop us, 16 of us took off for the other house. Mr. Stevenson, seeing what was happening, left the first house and the remaining sisters in Mr. Tun's care and came with us. His presence was wonderful and bucked us up no end. As we trooped into the other house, our appearance and numbers positively staggered two Japanese officers who were waiting for us. After they recovered from the shock of the sight of us, they asked us what we would like to drink.
These are the Australian sisters, Tai-san.
We are most happy to have you here. What would you care for to drink?
Milk.
But this is our party.
I'd still like milk.
And you, sister, would you like milk too?
Oh, yes.
What do girls in Australia drink on Saturday nights?
Milk.
I will tell the barman to make soft drinks.
Thank you.
Tell me, sister, have you no lipstick to make you pretty? No powder?
We don't wear it.
I have seen other Australian women, and they were very pretty. They had lipstick. Would you care to go into town and we could buy some for you? All of you.
No, thank you.
No, thank you very much.
Here we are, ladies. Nice soft drinks.
Keep it up, girls. You're doing well. Would you care for some salted peanuts?
Oh, yes. I haven't seen anything like that for so long.
Oh, look, Jeff. Cheese biscuits.
Eat up, Pig. It's probably the last we'll see of anything like this.
Are you going to Palm Beach?
Okay.
Jeff,
yes,
I don't know. Well, I'm glad about
that.
Thank you
so much.
And so we sat there, a formidable-looking crowd, munching peanuts and little biscuits and drinking revolting sweet drinks that Mr. Stevenson took good care to see were harmless. At about 10 o'clock, the Japs were sick of our bright chatter, and their English was becoming strained, and we were exhausted. They seemed to realize that we were determined to stay in a crowd, so they sent us home. All but four girls from the first house were sent home, too. These four girls were not so fortunate.
What can they be doing? They're walking up and down in front of our houses.
How many Japs are there?
Four. One to each girl.
If only we could hear what they're saying.
They've been out there an hour now. I wish I knew what was going on.
Oh, it's after midnight. This is terrible. They've never stopped walking up and down all this time.
They must have walked miles.
Something's happening. The Japs are letting them go. They're coming in now.
Who, the Japs?
No, our kids.
The warriors return.
What on earth have you been doing? Japs. We've been nearly frantic.
We've been watching you walk up and down out there and nearly going mad, wondering what was going to happen to you.
Gather around, children, and Auntie Doc will tell you the story. We were taken out of the club, each one of us led by a Japanese officer who tried to get us across to the house in Lavender Street.
Oh, Stott, how awful.
Well, we refused. And we kept them walking up and down in front of our houses while they argued the point and, well, we kept on saying no. Well,
thank the Lord they didn't use force.
No, Dr. McDowell was right about that. However, we just kept walking up and down until we were exhausted. Oh, I feel as if I've done a 10-mile trek over mountain country.
Oh, bet you do. But listen, what happened just now? I was watching and they seemed to drop you like red-hot bricks.
Oh, that... Well, we were all getting desperate until I had a brainwave. I started to cough.
To cough? But I don't see...
Well, neither do I.
Of course. They're terrified of TB.
What a brilliant idea.
We've got out of it this time, but I don't think we've heard the last of this officers' club idea.
No, I don't think we'll get out of it so easily. And the thing is, what are we going to do about it?
The night after our attendance at the opening of the officers' club, we sat up and talked, trying to figure out what we could do about the situation. We didn't get anywhere, and the next day, the Japs started their punishment.
You are to stand outside until I call you in.
Here we go again.
There will be no talking, and you are not to move.
I suppose this is to be our punishment for not cooperating in their friendly relations scheme.
Well, as long as they don't make us go back there to the club, I don't care much what they do.
Rumor has it that we're to be questioned again.
It's certainly hard to get them to believe you, isn't it?
Oh.
You're to stand here and don't talk.
We were made to stand in the sun for untold hours. If we so much as swayed, one of the guards would come out and give us a cuff over the face or jab at us with his bayonet. Then we were taken into the offices again and repeatedly told that if we didn't do what they wanted, we'd be killed. During the next week What with the punishments and having our rations stopped, I don't think we'd have cared much if they had killed us. We still flatly refused to go near the awful place again, but expected to be taken there by force. I really think the mental strain was far worse than being bombed and shipwrecked. Eventually, our Dutch doctor friend reported these goings-on to the Japanese resident in Palembang. The club was suddenly stopped, and peace reigned for a couple of weeks. There were quite a lot of dogs attached to the camp, all sorts and sizes, but one, a little foxy called Toby, settled down to live with our girls in the second house.
Hey, look what's come to live with us, kids.
What?
What is it?
Oh, isn't he
lovely?
Hi, little fella.
Yeah.
Where'd you come from?
Oh, he just attached himself to us. He speaks Dutch.
Dutch?
Yes, that's all. Just Dutch, nothing but.
Well, that's a help. Do you?
Not fluently, no. The time we get by, you know. He loathes the nips. Hey, you ought to have seen him last night when one of the guards came in. His shackles went up and he bared his teeth and snarled. What was the great to-do going on?
Well, he's a fine judge of human nature. What's his name?
Well, we call him Toby.
What are you going to do, try and keep him?
Of course.
Well, what about feeding him? Well, there's hardly anything for us, let alone a dog.
Well, if we all throw in a little bit, he shouldn't do too badly. Anyway, foxes hunt rats.
Daddy! Stand up! Stand up!
What is it this time, I wonder?
Whose dog?
He's just a stray.
Sure he does not belong to you?
Quite sure.
Well, I take him.
You leave him alone.
Why? If he's not yours, I take him.
What are you going to do with him?
Don't want dogs around camp.
Toby. Garnard Hus. Hus.
That was so silly. I'll teach you next time not to play tricks. Go on, stand in the sun. And when we get the dog, he will be shrouded in front of you. Putari! Inuhinuho! Sembo! Kowashimasu!
Well, that's torn it. Well, they started yesterday rounding up the poor little things. Mr. Tun told me they'd killed about 6 of them.
I wonder if we can hide Toby.
Oh, if we can find him, we can put him in the oven of our stove.
Poor old Shorty. I'll go and warn the others that there's a witch hunt on for the poor little pup. Between us, we ought to be able to hide him, surely.
We did hide little Toby. Or rather, he hid himself. Shorty was punished time and time again for the next few days. But finally, the Japs gave up, having killed all the other dogs in the camp. Toby continued to live with us. He could sense a Jap guard coming, and his hackles would go up, and he would slink away and hide himself until the coast was clear again. About this time, rumor started that we were to be moved to Singapore at any minute. We didn't really know whether we wanted to go back or not, and we sat around on the hard floor talking about it.
Hey, what do you think of this Singapore rumor, Pat? Think there's anything behind it?
Oh, goodness knows. It's been persistent for 2 or 3 days now. Well, I don't know that I want to go back even if it is true. Although it would be all right if we could nurse our own soldiers.
Yeah. Even if we could nurse the servicemen here in Palembang, it would be something. It seems so darn silly to keep us here doing nothing.
That's because we refuse to nurse the Japs.
Sisters, I've got some news for you.
Oh, hello, Mr. Tan. What's happened?
Well, it's just been given out over the wireless.
What wireless? Where?
That would be telling, sister. But I heard this myself, that 65 Australian sisters who had been evacuated from Singapore had arrived safely in Australia.
What?
Oh, how wonderful.
Hey, that must be the lot that Matron Paskey divided off that day, do you remember?
Yes. Yeah, this is wonderful news. I must tell the others. Hey, kids, listen to this.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Tan, for telling us. It's cheered me up a lot.
Any other details I hear, I'll let you know.
Hooray!
Oh, what's that?
The other sisters cheering the good news.
Have you heard any of rumors about us being moved to Singapore, Mr. Tan?
Well, I hear so many new rumors every day that I lose track of them. I did hear that the whole camp was to be moved.
Well, I wish they'd make up their minds. It's so unsettled.
Yes, that, Sister Jeffrey, is probably why the rumors have been starting.
If the Japs wanted to keep us in a perpetual state of unrest and confusion, they very nearly succeeded. It was awful, the uncertainty of not knowing what was going to happen.
We had nothing to do and all day to do it in. There was a small storeroom at the back of our house, and one day, in sheer desperation from boredom, we decided to break into it.
Oh, this ceaseless rain will drive me nuts.
It's the boredom that'll drive me crazy.
I think the mosquitoes are the worst.
It's just everything that's getting on my nerves. Let's do something. But what?
Well, Jeff, let's see if we can get into that little storeroom at the back.
I've always wanted to know what was in there.
Well, come on, then.
Come on. Let's go and have a look.
Come on.
Come on.
Now, here we are.
How will we attack it?
It's a bit like being Alice in Wonderland.
Anyone got a nail file?
What for?
To pick the lock, of course.
Oh, I don't think there's any need for that. I think a little gentle pressure will do the trick.
Looks pretty rickety. Yeah. Now then, all together, get your shoulders on.
Here. Right. Yeah, that's it. Shove.
Shove. Shove.
Oh, all it needs now is for a little son of Nippon to walk in and there'll be fireworks.
Don't talk so much. Come on, push.
Push. Eureka!
Well, we're in.
It's full of emptiness. Oh, no, not quite. But what's this?
Looks like a coat.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's a Ralph Greatcoat.
Oh, any name on it, Shorty?
No, not a thing. There's nothing in the pockets.
Oh. Well, we might as well take it. It'll be useful as a blanket.
Yeah. Hey, I found something.
What? What, Woody?
It's a great heap of papers and magazines.
Oh, well, that's a break. At least we'll have something to read.
Yes. Here, look. We better split them up and hide them, otherwise they'll be taken.
Look at this, kids. An Australian weekly.
Oh. How on earth do you think that got here? Quick, let's have a look.
Oh,
quick.
Oh.
Oh.
Look at the pictures of that food. Steaming hot tomato soup.
Piles of green peas.
I can almost taste them.
Oh, look, turn over quick. I'm starting to drool.
Hey, look at this. This is unbelievable.
It's us.
A whole article about us.
Yes. And look, photographs taken in our own hospital unit in Malacca.
Yes, look, there's James and Dell and Mickey Sawyer.
Oh, didn't we look well-dressed then? Shoes, stockings, capes, cap tails, and also starch. If only Matron could see us now.
Oh, if only she could.
I wonder what happened to her.
When we get out of this, we'll probably find her waiting for us, getting everything teed up for our return.
Hey, let's take this magazine in and show the others.
Yes.
Gee, you wouldn't believe such a coincidence was possible, would you?
Those magazines kept us going for a long time. We read and reread every word, even the advertisements. The ones advertising food and long, cool-looking drinks were hard to take. On the 1st of April, we were rudely awakened very early by a Jap guard who shouted at us in Malay.
Go on, Naik! Turun padang!
What's the matter?
Hey, what's going on?
Naik! Naik!
Get up!
Oh, what on earth for?
It's not even light yet.
Damn! Come on, Pantalan Antis Tangadam!
What's he talking about? A journey in half an hour? Where are we going?
Naik! Naik!
Hey, the rumors must have been true. We must be going to Singapore.
Hey, we'll have to get a wiggle on if they want us to pack and be at the Padang in half an hour.
What into, for heaven's sake? We haven't got much, but there's nothing to put even the rags we have into.
I wonder if we can take our stove.
Oh, here comes the guard back again. Now, two of them this time. We'll ask.
Chapat! Chapat! Ostrari!
Listen, ape face.
Hey, look out. Jeffy may speak English.
Bita kami ambil. Hey, Pat, what stove?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, can we take this?
Sita, Sita.
Oh, you might have known they'd say no.
Oh, it breaks my heart to leave that here.
Chapat, chapat, chapat.
Oh, we're trying to hurry. It's no use nagging at us. We're doing our best. Now, come on, let's get up.
Well, of all the nerve. Listen to that. He's whistling Home, Sweet Home.
Thank you.
listen again for a further episode of this true story of Australian women at war. White Coolies is based on the diary written secretly in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey, especially adapted for radio by Gwen Friend and produced by Fifi Banvard for Australasian Radio Productions.